You don't want your creativity to be killing you. That is not the goal. Yeah. That is not where the best creativity happens. You're actually detracting from your creative resources when you operate that way.
Hey, folks, welcome to Story Life, a podcast about the ups, downs, and all arounds of living a creative life as relayed through the eyes, the minds, the hearts of two independent filmmakers. My name is Alan C. Gardner, and I'm here with my fellow host,
Clinton Cornwall, and this is episode 41. We did it. We made it past 40. We recorded pretty recently on February 20th of this year.
Yep.
You know, actually, I love this episode. We talk about managing stress and like mental health as part of the filmmaking and creative process. I think it's like a lovely conversation. It's an element of being creative that doesn't get mentioned that much. I think it's really great for any creative to take in because it's just really not much a part of the dialogue of the creative process, but it's almost more important than anything else that you could do creatively is how do you mentally take care of yourself. So check it out. We'd love to hear what you guys think.
Before we get to the conversation, I just wanted to mention that Clinton and myself are creative coaches and consultants, supporters of the arts and the artsy folks. So if you need any artistic support on any part of your process, writing, pre-production, production, post, marketing, what have you, hit us up for a free 30-minute consultation. We'd love to see if we could help you out in any capacity. I mean, we'd love to connect with fellow filmmakers.
And with that, let's dive into the episode. Are you sick?
You.
I mean, you're perpetually sick.
I'm always sick now. I knew you were gonna ask me. And I'm always, my answer was already prepared. Like, this is just gonna be what's up for like a few months at least.
Because you have small children.
That's in part, but also like, I mean, that's part of the catch up, I guess. Real fast, because I'm like, I don't even remember what I've told you last about it.
Well, I don't know how much you wanted to disclose. We can cut some of this if you want, but you had like this ongoing like pneumonia that just kept hitting you again and again and again, and you were trying to figure out exactly what that was.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle of that journey right now. I just have a cold. I've had a cold for like a week and a half.
Nice. So well, just on top of everything else, just also a cold.
No, totally. And that's probably, in part it's because of the season. And like with little kids, like you're just bound to get sick more often. But no, the long and short of the other thing is that like I have tumors in my lungs. And so I think they were caused though by the pneumonia. So we're still trying to figure out what started the pneumonia, but the pneumonia got so bad that it created scarring in my lungs, which is like also like tumors.
Wow.
Which in and of itself isn't like most like lung tumors are like totally harmless.
Okay.
Especially if they're caused by this. So like I had a CT scan done and they found all that. But they think that the cause of, and also like part of one of my lungs is deflated from the pneumonia. So they have to go in and like clear out my lungs and like reinflate the part that's deflated.
Damn, dude.
So it's a whole thing, man. It's a whole, and like I had that, and then there's like insurance stuff too, like, basically, the pulmonologist I was going to, like, he wanted to do the bronchoscopy, which is where they clean out the lungs and reinflate it. And so he got that authorized. But the hospitals where my insurance authorizes me to get that procedure done, he can't perform the procedure at those hospitals. So now I'm having to go see another pulmonologist, and that's not until April. Yesterday I saw an immunologist for immune system and allergies. So now they're ordering like breathing tests and like allergy tests and stuff to see if it's what it is, just to see what it is. They're still trying to figure out what's causing it.
Yeah.
But the good news is that it looks like it's not like a life-threatening thing. Because like when they first like, you know, recurrent pneumonia can be caused by like, I'm sure I mentioned this before, but like, you know, a wide range of things. Like, you know, some very scary and some not as scary. And I think what's causing it, we don't know yet, but is on the not as scary side, which is great.
Yeah.
Obviously. But yeah, because that CT scan, when it first came back, I was like, jeez. They seemed to think it was like an infection, but it was still like, you know, you read things like, oh, you have nodules, which are like tumors, which are tumors. And that's a little concerning. And like one of them was kind of big, which is concerning. Like, oh, is it cancer? But it looks like my pulmonologist is very convinced that it's not cancer. But my original pulmonologist, now I have to go see another one. So anyway, it's a whole thing. That's the long and short of that.
Sorry, man. That's so horrible. I'm so sorry you're having to go through that. Jeez.
No, it's all good. I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, fortunately, it's been like, it's been this ride for like, I mean, the first round of pneumonia was back in May.
Yeah.
But like after that went away, I was like not too worried about it. But then it started getting scary like beginning of November when it happened again. Because everyone's like, oh, recurrent pneumonia. That might mean, basically right out the gate, it's like, oh, that might mean cancer. Now, it also might mean a lot of other things. which now it seems like it's one of those other things. But it's been like, so for almost like 4 months now, just kind of like, all right, what's going on kind of situation.
That sucks. He can't get an appointment until April.
I know. Well, the biggest, you know, the shittiest thing about that is that my guy, my original pulmonologist already had, like I said, like already had, like I had the bronchoscopy like approved. I could be doing that like, you know, next month or whatever. But since the insurance doesn't align, it's so silly. It's like, since the insurance, like my insurance authorized me to go see him. And my insurance authorized me to get this procedure done at this hospital. But, you know, the two things don't connect. Like, he can't do it at that hospital. So it's like, thanks. Like, now I have to backtrack, you know, not, you know, backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, the whole system is stupid, man.
I can't get it. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, I can't get as far ahead. Like, I could be further along than I will be, but it's taking longer because of that. But again, like, I consider myself very lucky. You know, it's been a whole, like, you know, the last few months just kind of like, not knowing what's going on. So like the direction that everything is going in right now, like, yeah, it's like a hassle and it sucks. And it's like, you know, and the least of which is like, you know, it can be a time suck. Like, but that's not a big, that's in the grand scheme, that's not a big deal. Like, it's going in the direction that I was hoping it would go in.
Yes.
Overall, like, you know, steering away from like, terminal disease territory and more into like, oh, this might be like an allergy, something to do with the immune system, maybe like triggered by like stress and like exhaustion and lack of sleep and all these things from like, yeah, again, from like that first month with her in the NICU. So yeah, just avalanched. So that's what's going on. So that's the, I've been meaning to catch up on that. We just haven't had a chance and, you know, don't want to talk about it for too long just because we got other stuff to talk about, but that's the quick summary of that.
I mean, it's kind of this is, you know, talking about this podcast and what we usually talk about, it's kind of a big deal because I feel like, I don't know what kind of like your headspace is in, but to me, it's like, you know, somebody going through what you're going through, it's kind of like everything gets set aside. You know, you can, you know, obviously still do things that feel fun and feel good, but like, I think, you know, rest is a big part of recovery and just making sure you're available to do whatever things that need to be done. And oftentimes that means setting aside, like, creativity is often stressful.
Sure.
And I think that oftentimes that for people that means setting aside a lot of that stuff, which I'm not saying that you have to do that. Obviously I'm not here to prescribe anything to you, but that's also, and it just often becomes like a result of going through something like what you're going through.
No, I hear you. But like for me, I mean, first of all, like, you know, it's a different thing too when, I mean, and this is, you know, just the nature of things. Like, more rest isn't really, like, I need to be getting more rest. And, like, I'm getting, you know, it's been a little bit better recently at nights. But, like, you know, more rest isn't really that much on the table for me right now. That being said, like, because of my life, because of, you know, I can't really slow down too much. Now, I am trying to be, the biggest thing I'm trying to do on that front is stress less. Because stress actually like exacerbates the problems, you know,
or
at least it can. And so I'm not able to slow down too much, but I am working on, and it's something I've already been, you know, always been working on anyway, but like working on more is like stressing less and trying to take better care of myself and like, you know, taking more, you know, just vitamins and whatnot, and all these things. But again, like I feel very like fortunate because it's not like right now, like in the grand scheme, like, it's not that bad. Like, especially, like, where my head was, like, a couple months ago, which was, like, you know, I was more in a place of, like, trying to prepare myself for whatever it might be, you know?
Yeah.
I was still very, very optimistic and hopeful, but, like, you know, I'm, like, I don't know. You're just in a place of, like, okay, how much time do I have left? And now I'm not in that place anymore. So, yeah, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because even just having to, like, again, I'm just very fortunate because I've only, you know, I still don't know the exact answer yet. And I'm hoping that, like, you know, I'm not getting ahead of myself with the, what seems to be like a pretty positive outcome from all this, all things considered. But like, it's not like it was like, you know, a month and a half ago or even like a month ago. Like when I saw my pulmonologist, like on the January 31st, it was just like, whew, that was intense. Like, you know, wanting to get there. Like I already felt pretty like based on the results and like what some of, like another doctor had told me and stuff. Like I was feeling hopeful already, but like I wanted to get the, it was just nerve wracking, like getting the breakdown from the pulmonologist, like what he thought it was. So it's been pretty good news, like all around. It's just been kind of a long-ish period of like speculation, but now things seem to be more positive.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, that's definitely.
So I'm good. Just grateful for all that.
Of course. I think. Yeah. I think, you know, part of the stress thing is, you know, luckily we're in, and you're largely in control of, like, your creativity and when you do it. And so I think it's just being conscious about, you know, deadlines are a big part of things. It's like, well, we always want to put deadlines on ourselves to help us achieve things, mm-hmm. you know, and that's helpful to get things done, but not necessarily helpful for lowering your stress. Luckily... You know, I mean, as far as what I know, like, you're in a place where it's like you know, you can kind of put things down and pick them up as makes sense for you.
Projects-wise, yeah. But with, you know, everything else in my life-wise, like, it's just, you know, again, it's more about the perspective on it. Like, I was just saying, like, that's something to say with my wife last night. It's like, the stress is ultimately optional. Like, you can keep doing what you're doing and without stressing about it. Now, that can be easier said than done sometimes, but... At the end of the day, you can keep up your routine and keep going after the deadlines. Just try not to stress about it so much. Because the stress, especially the older we get, it does deteriorate. It causes your health to deteriorate. It can literally kill you at a certain point. So if not like immediately, it can like chip away at your health. Now, what I was stressing about at the time was like out of my control is a different kind of situation.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhat out of my control as far as like my reaction to it. But again, it all kind of stemmed from that period in my life. Like that first week is when I just got really sick. And then it just got worse. And then because I didn't get checked out because I was so, you know, busy and just didn't know what was going on. I thought it was just a cold or whatever. Then it just, yeah. It exacerbated the problem. But anyway, stress. No, I mean, that is kind of a universal thing, too, is like, you know, a good lesson, too, for filmmakers. I'm sure we probably talked about it maybe even last time we talked or sometime recently. But yeah, like, just honestly, do your best not to stress so much about it. Like, again, like, that might become one of my new mantras. Like, ultimately, the stress is optional. And don't pick it. Don't go with that option as much as possible. Do your thing, but like try to have perspective and understand that you're going to get the job done as long as you keep, you know, stay on point and keep putting one foot in front of the other. And do what you got to do to also like make sure you're taking care of yourself in whatever ways that means for you. And then because the more you're taking care of yourself too, the better that you'll be for the project and the team. Because the stress, it just doesn't help. And it doesn't, I know we've definitely talked about this before, like when you're on set, like, if you're just all stressed out and like radiating that, like it's not beneficial for anyone. So
yeah, I think try to get
a handle on it as much as you can.
No, and I think it's something that we each individually have to really pay attention to, because until you have the experience with yourself and with your brain, you don't know, like there's a level of good stress and healthy stress, like a small amount, you know, a reasonable amount. And then there's unhealthy stress. I think each individual person just kind of has to like go on their journey and really pay attention to how being very conscious about how they're operating in their life to really learn what that feels like, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on how you define stress too. Like I'm not pulling up the online dictionary right now, but as far as like, I think it's healthy to feel motivated and to feel, I think the way that I would say is there's a healthy amount of pressure. Which is maybe getting into semantics, but like when you feel like a healthy amount of pressure to get something done, but I don't think it's really that helpful to stress about it though.
I think yes, that's like stress is a byproduct of like, you know, circumstances in your life and pressures that you put on yourself and these sorts of things. It's like there's medical ways that they like define it. Obviously, we're not scientists. We're not doctors of any sort here.
Self-appointed scientist. Doctor.
No, definitely not. For me, at least my experience of it is I do feel like I feel it in my body when stress is high.
Yeah.
It's when your body and your mind is being pushed very hard for various reasons and stuff that's kind of like stress. And like I was saying before, I think if you're motivated and you're pursuing things, that's going to cause you some amount of stress regardless. But I think that's like, that's in the healthy range, you know?
But I think the stress, again, like, I think this is a really interesting topic that we've kind of stumbled into. But I think the stress for me is a perspective thing. Because I've like, you know, been in situations where I'm like working my ass off, like total full throttle. And I'm not stressed because I'm just like in my element, in the zone, and I'm going. And so it's like, but in my body and mind and, you know, whatever, all my, you know, everything's being like peaked and pushed and whatnot, but I'm not stressed about it because I'm like having confidence in what I'm doing and appreciating what I'm doing and feeling like in tune with the process. It's whenever I'm not in tune or if I feel like I'm, you know, when I'm being too hard on myself, that's when like the stress comes in. You know what I mean? So again, I think it's like become like a ongoing like side mission of mine is to kind of like we each have things that we want to, you know, preach, if you will, things that we want to like that we want to, you know, messages that we want to get out to other filmmakers and whatnot. And I think one of mine has become more and more like, because there's something too to like, you know, we all like go through periods too. I think I can't say we all, but like, cause I don't want to speak for attempt to speak for everyone, but like almost like romanticizing the stress or like romanticizing just like, you know, feeling like, yeah, I guess that's it. Like romanticizing the stress. Like, so, you know, cause again, like you can be really tired and exhausted and whatnot. And yes, you need to take care of yourself. So, you know, your body doesn't, this is like the first time I'm going through where my body's really like, okay, dude, like, you know, my body's kind of like, fighting back a little bit.
No, I agree with you. I definitely hate, you know, it's like, I think sleep is a thing that filmmakers set aside.
You've talked about that.
Yeah, especially as production, as production. It's like romanticizing, oh, you're so hardcore, you're such a good filmmaker, you're not sleeping during production. It's like, no, like, I mean, I can understand when your mind is busy and it's hard to sleep under those circumstances, but do the work to figure out how you can get good sleep and how you can get rest and how you can take care of yourself and how you can lower your stress level like... You don't want your creativity to be killing you. Like, that is not the goal. Yeah. That is not where the best creativity happens. You're actually detracting from your creative resources when you operate that way, because your body's in this sort of like tensed out mode that, like, I think peak creativity happens like when what you were talking about, you're in this like flow state where your mind is in this sort of like healthy, feel good place and you have something that's really compelling you. And I think you actually damage that if you're pushing yourself too hard, if you're not creating a healthy environment for yourself to work within. And so that means like eating healthily, exercising, like lowering your stress through whatever means, meditation, whatever, you know, getting good sleep. Like, it is not romantic. There's nothing awesome about sacrificing your body and your well-being for your art form. Like, that's not, like, there are specific situations where that stuff can be useful for very small amounts of time. Very small amounts of time. I'm not talking about the run of a production, like, for weeks at a time. I'm talking about, like, maybe a day. But, like, generally, like, you should not be operating like that. It's not good for you. Like you said, it's going to kill you. You're going to take your – you're literally going to take years off of your life for your creativity. And, like –
You could,
That's not – well, one – well, two things to that. It's like, one, we don't – nobody wants that for you. And two is like that, say that you are able to get to a higher level of success because of this push that you put on yourself, this unhealthy lifestyle. Is that the message that you want to put out into the world, that you need to sacrifice your body and your well-being for success? Like, is that the society that we want to live in? Like, you're doing nobody any good by doing that.
No, it is like a thing that, it is kind of a epidemic, might be too strong of a word, but this whole thing of like, do whatever it takes, like, you know, this kind of like, this thing where you feel like you have to prove something, but, you know, ultimately it's like you feel that, you know, to yourself, but you can also feel, and there are plenty of people out there who just don't help with this matter, either by just like sharing their own, like, oh yeah, man, like I went and did this, so like that means, you know, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like you said, like, you feel like you have to be, you know, prove that you're so hardcore and whatnot, so like devoted and so committed and all these things. Again, all these very romanticized like notions. And yeah, and sometimes you just hear people talk about these things and you feel like, oh, I've got to like put that out there as well. But yeah, it's a very, I don't know, like there are certain societies where this is not the case, but it can be like a very like American, it seems, kind of mindset of like, oh yeah, I'm so, you know, I'm so exhausted. I did all this, like, you know, overworking yourself and all these things in order to feel you have some kind of value. Or like, I remember the exact people, but like, you know, on Facebook or, yeah, usually like on Facebook, we're out these posts of like putting out there, like, how tired I am. Like, I'm so tired. Like, I did all this stuff. Like, I did all this stuff. I did all this stuff. I'm just like, all right. Like, I know that feeling too, but like, it's a different thing. It's very performative when you didn't post about like how tired you are.
Or virtue signaling. That's like virtue signaling.
Yeah, it's totally like that. Yeah.
I mean, because some people think hard work ethic is a virtue, but like.
And the thing is, I do pride myself a lot on like my work ethic. So like, I get it, but it's like when you're like, you also don't need to like, you don't, when you're having, you feel like you have to tell like, you know, quote unquote, the whole world about it.
Yes.
That's you trying to prove, in my eyes, that's you trying to prove something.
Yeah.
And validate, like, you know, whatever. Because there are plenty of times where I've been, like, completely exhausted, but I'm not on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. there's this sketch. I love this YouTube/TikTok, I guess, creator. His name's Andrew Russo. I think he really gets the male psyche with a lot of his little sketches that he does. But he does this one where it's basically just, like, two guys who are continuously, like, one-upping each other with how hard they work and how much they sacrifice for their job. Yeah. It's like, dude's like, guy's like, yeah, you know, I'm just on that grind, like, working really hard. And the guy's like, yeah, it's like, I've stopped clocking in. I don't get paid by my work anymore. Like, I just work nonstop for him. And the other guy's like, well, yeah, well, I pay my job. I pay my workplace for the pleasure of my working there, you know? So it's just like that ridiculous one-upmanship, like you said, because that's what's funny about it is it's kind of like you're signaling, oh, I have this virtue of like hard work. But it's like, yes, having a work ethic is important, but it's a process that, one, it should be good for you and healthy for you overall, and two, that's a process that hopefully is like leading you to better places and to a good result. If you're just like grinding away at something that doesn't make you feel good and doesn't make you happy, doesn't make you feel fulfilled, and also doesn't yield results, like what are you working hard at? You're just wasting your hard work.
Yeah. And like you said, like, what are you trying to put out there? Both in regards to like a message that you're putting out there, but also just the energy that you're putting out there, like as a person. With in the way that what you're doing, how it can, you know, how it affects you. A good example, like when I drill down to the core of me too, like I've always, like, work ethic's a big thing for me. And what it really comes down to at the core is I pride myself a lot on effort. I'm a very, like, I'm the kind of person who needs to, like, know that I've, like, put in the effort, you know what I mean? And that I'm thoughtful and that, like, I care about things and I put my time into things. And overall, that's very good. Like, overall, like, you know, that's been to my benefit. Even, like, yesterday, this is a good example. And this one's kind of funny example to, like, to talk about. But, like today for Lyle's TK class for his school, like, we had to turn in, like, it was, like, a family project of just, like, just a, you know, like, a piece of paper that they gave us, like, you know, I see, you know, Lyle Gardner's family, and they like to, and then you like write the activity that we like to do together, and you put pictures of the activity on the paper, and like you know, your kid like draws on it and whatnot, and decorates it. And so, like, I found myself, like, getting so stressed about doing this project because it's like, okay, like, what they're trying to figure out, like, okay, what are the pictures going to be? Like, is it going to be one picture? Is it going to be more than one picture? Like, what are we doing? And, like, having, like, get some pictures, like, while we were, because it's like, okay, they're going to want a picture of, like, all five of us. And it's very rare that there's a picture of, like, all five of us. You know what I mean? Usually, like, there's pictures of, like, the kids, like one of the kids or two of the kids or three of the kids or like one of us with the kids. But like, we're not usually like all five of us posing for pictures, you know, because it's really hard to wrangle. Usually we're just like living our lives. And also like when we don't like get a group shot, it's like hard to wrangle little kids anyway.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, got to get like an activity picture of like the five of us kind of thing and like stage that. So I got that done. Anyway, long story short, then like placing the photo order yesterday. But, you know, the kids were out of school yesterday. And I had the immunologist appointment, and I'm like, while I'm like waiting at that appointment, like I'm going through all my pictures, like trying to, you know, select the stuff. Long story short, I found myself getting really stressed about this project.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a thing for my kid's TK class, but like, I care, like, and I want him to be happy with it. And I want, you know, it to be good for him. You know what I mean? But like, I started getting to the point where I was like, just too stressed about it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny. I'm like, okay, I need to back up a little bit. And this is when I started telling my, and like the, you know, the whole thing, it's like, okay, yeah, the stress is optional. And like, I need to not stress about this right now. But then I was like trying to get like the cropping just right on the picture. And then like, I couldn't transfer over to like, when I was ordering online, like it screwed up the cropping and the perspective.
I understand this completely.
And then my wife was stressed about stuff too. And like the kids were going buck wild and like all these things were happening. But I'm like, okay, one thing I can cut out here is like, I don't need to stress about this. Like, cause my whole thing is like, I need to get this done and I want it to be good for him, you know? But, and that's ultimately, again, that's a good thing. But like the stress, like I needed to like, that's something I had to like work
through. Yeah, not if it causes you stress, especially in this current state. Cause it's like sometimes, I mean, and I think that's something, I mean, we both have high standards for a lot of things in our lives, but it's when you get to that point where the stress is too much and too much for you in your current health state, is that's a lower bar. you know, than normal.
Yeah.
It's like when it gets to the point it's too much, you just got to relax some of those standards and let some things slide. I mean, we've talked about this multiple times on the podcast, not just with stress level, but just with, you know, the fact that when we have too many things going on in our lives and you got to let some things go. But like, this is a different sort of way of looking about it is like, yeah, letting go of some of those standards where it's like, oh man, just done is better than good in certain situations. Yeah. where you might want it to be good and done, but you just got to get through it so you can maintain your health, you know, first.
Yeah, it's totally. And it's so hard, though. It's so hard because, again, like, at the end of the day, like, I'm glad because, like, then when I showed it to Lyle, he's like, this is awesome. Like, he was so excited about it. I'm like, cool. And so it's like, it's nice, like, when you go through all that. And again, I wish I hadn't stressed about it. I'm going to work on that. But it was nice, like, putting in the effort. I'm glad I put in the effort. And then he was really happy with it. So that obviously feels good. But... yeah, no, it's an ongoing, you know, struggle of sorts, battle, whatnot, process of refinement. This is why, like, it's becoming, like, it's trying to make it, like, a mantra of mine is because it's, you know, much to remind myself, of course, like, you know, not preaching to, you know, usually we're preaching stuff, but we're preaching it to ourselves as well and reminding ourselves of certain things. It's like, yeah, it's the effort, good. Like, the effort I put into things, the thoughtfulness, that's good. The stress, I gotta keep working on that. But, yeah, and going back to just, like, you know, when I'm talking about the posts, really, like, my biggest gripe about those, like, people, like, posting about how hard they're working and whatnot, is, like, some of those posts can, like, again, like, kind of just perpetuate the problem in my eyes, you know?
Yeah, because you're setting up unrealistic standards. Because
then you got other people seeing that. Maybe someone who looks up to you, is seeing that. Yeah. And like, oh, well, I gotta, you know, embody that as well. And it's, yeah. Some of it comes back down to, like, you know, we've talked about, like, it's a very competitive culture. It's a real, like, culture of comparison, you know, our culture in a lot of ways. People like, okay, well, what is this person doing? Like, I got to do that, like, just as hard or harder or, like, whatever. Like, you know, this incessant need to, like, validate and prove ourselves. It can be very destructive in a lot of ways, both to your own health, to your relationships, to your work in general. Sometimes the most ironic thing is, like, the more you bring negativity into it and stress into it and can sometimes, like, a toxic approach to it in ways, then the irony sometimes is the more it'll adversely affect your work as well. The thing that you're striving so hard for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can get fucked up.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of statistical evidence to suggest, you know, like, shorter work weeks lead to actually more productivity overall, even if people are working less hours, just because you work more efficiently. And, you know, this is kind of like a mantra that I tell myself. I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast before. I probably have. But, you know, I keep telling myself it's like creativity, creation, it's a process, right? And part of that process is rest.
Mm-hmm.
An essential part of the process is rest. And I think us as productive people and sort of the culture of productivity here in America, it's like you should feel guilty for resting and how much mm-hmm. you rest. And the truth is, no, that like, that's not it at all. You need to find the right amount of rest that works for you, that feels good for you, that helps you, like, you know, and this is stupid, live your best life, really. Like, yeah, that, and that's a different amount for different people. Some people, it's not the same for everybody. And I would say, like you're saying, with this virtue signaling stuff that we're talking about, I'd say a lot of those people that are crowing about how much work they do and how little rest they need, I don't think that's probably actually true. I think they are burning themselves out, you know, and they are hurting themselves, you know? So rest is a part of the process. And it is something that is just as valuable as any other part of the process. And so you should not shortchange it.
And also, yeah, just, you know, appreciating what you're doing and knowing that, like, knowing that you are, like, some of that comes down to as well, like, and again, speaking of easier said than done, but knowing that you are enough, that you are more than enough, that, like, what you are of value and that you don't have to prove that. You know, this need to, like, prove that to other people, to yourself, what have you, through your work or through anything. But, you know, it's a whole thing, man. And I mean, it's something I've thought about my whole life, especially even more so now with kids. It's like, okay, like, the things that we're trying to teach them, obviously what we tell them, but also, like, by the example that we set. I mean, that's the biggest reason right there, to, like, try to stress less about things or to not, you know, put that out there, because, you know, kids pick up on everything as you quickly learn.
Yeah.
they are paying attention. and they are absorbing what you're putting out there.
So, Alan, in this moment, and I'll give some of mine too, but how do you have techniques that you use for resting, for de-stressing, for lowering your anxiety? Like, what are some of the things that you do for yourself?
I mean, a lot of it, some of it, I don't know if I have any like particular techniques. Some of it's just like simply like, you know, like literally taking a breath, you know, and just trying to like breathing. Music.
Yeah.
Music can be very helpful. There's like calming breaths. Like there's something to be said for like a calming breath, like a night, like, you know, drinking some water, taking calming breaths.
Well, yeah, music, yeah. Let's go back to that real quick. Maybe a run.
Yes, or whatnot.
Yeah. The breathing thing. I definitely take, sometimes I'll feel like my mind is like really, really scattered and like, I don't know which direction to point it. You know, and especially sure. often when I'm this almost always happens when I'm in front of a device like a computer or a phone or something like that. And so in those moments, I, you know, often, like you said, take a breath. What does that mean? That means like set down the device, look out at some natural light if you can, look away from the screens, importantly, you know, look away from the information that your brain has to constantly process and be taking in and assessing, and just take a breath. And for me, I take a breath and I sort of try to prioritize, okay, what do I really need to be focusing on in this moment? And maybe as a second step is like, I'll do a quick ordering of what tasks I need to do, you know, over the next short amount of time. But I do that while I'm breathing and taking a breath and trying to center myself in my body and in my experience through a deep breath. And try and breathe out that stress, that anxiety for a moment. Does that track with what you're saying, take a breath?
No, I like the way I like the specifics you got into as well. But yeah, sometimes it's just like, taking a breath and like reminding myself of the reality of things, if you will. Like reminding myself of, you know, like who I am, like what I'm doing, and like why I should feel good about who I am and what I'm doing, and stop beating myself up over this, that, or the other, or stop, you know, being so hard on myself about this, that, or the other. And just reminding myself of like, yeah, again, like my, everything that's going on, everything in my life that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And like focusing on those things. I think it's another thing too, is like focusing on like having moments where you just focus on all the things in your life that you appreciate. All the people, all the projects, like anything that you, is going on in your life that you appreciate, and focusing on those things for a moment, I think can be really helpful. And also, here's another one. This one might be kind of like a half measure, because it's kind of like, it's not as much about, you know, stillness or like taking a breath or whatnot. But like sometimes I feel like I need to like try to de-stress a little bit, but I also feel like I can't slow down too much, or like there's something else I need to get. Like if I still want to like get something done that I need to get done, but not stress, like I'll do dishes. Or some kind of cleaning like that, some kind of like task that like needs to get done anyway, but like doesn't require as much of like my, that I won't stress about, basically. Sometimes that can help me too, because it allows me to still, I'm like, well, this needs to get done anyway, but I can now shift my mind away from the thing that's like stressing me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a good, like for me, like kind of like a half measure one, where it's like, okay, I'm not like, you know, stopping, you know, whatever, which again, like that's why I'm like not endorsing that one big time, just because it's one, it's good if you gotta do dishes, it's good to do dishes, but like, you know, sometimes like you said, like sometimes we literally just need to like sit down or stand still or whatever it might be, and just kind of like, yeah, breathe and refocus our minds and our energies. So yeah, that I would endorse those more.
There's lots of tools for reducing your stress and centering yourself and stuff. And the more that you have access to, the more you've exposed yourself to and used before, you can call them up in different situations, you know? And so it's useful to explore different things very consciously. Yeah. Like, hey, is this helping me? Is this making things better? Because not only is it different for different situations, but each person finds things that work differently for them and their brain. That's why, you know, we'll continue going through a few things that work for us individually here, but they just, you know, these are things that work for us and they might not work for the person who's listening, but I encourage you still to try, like try it out and see if how it works for you, or you know, Google more things. Like there's tons of stuff on the internet about this, and you should try them all. Like another one that I tap into when it's like really bad is I think it's called a grounding exercise, where you, I think it's like five things you name in a row, like five things you can see, four things that you can hear, or three things you can smell, two things you can touch, and one thing you can taste, or something like that. And the point of it you just run through those name, you vocally name those for yourselves real quick. And again, it's like bringing yourself into your body, into your senses. And again, this is just a, it's a tool. It's That's a cool. technique. Yeah.
I don't think I heard that one. A lot of people, you know, meditation's big for a lot of people. That's something that I haven't really done much of yet.
When I feel really very anxious, yeah. I'll do like a 10-minute or 20-minute guided meditation.
I think that's great. I probably should do that.
That really helps lower the feelings of my anxiety. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, anxiety is a very specific feeling in my body.
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily for me, I don't feel that high anxiety feeling very much. But in those times when I do, often doing a meditation will really help alleviate that. And, you know, that only takes 10 minutes. Sometimes only 5 minutes. So there's lots of guided meditation apps, even free ones out there that you can use.
Getting outdoors when you can as well.
Getting physical, yes. For me, it's running. You know, yeah. I think you do running too. Whatever. Yeah. Getting physical, getting a sweat on. Even little amounts of movement, ones that don't make you sweat, can just help. It's great for your health anyways, but also that lowers your stress level, and that gets you into your body, and definitely that's a good one. One that I need to do more of. I got, when I had COVID a few weeks ago, it really knocked me off of my physical routine.
Right.
I need to remind myself, even with the exercise, it's like I constantly face that battle. It's like, oh, I need to make time to exercise. Cause like to me, a great exercise session that feels really, really good takes 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And then with cool down and stuff like that, you know, and part of the thing that I struggle with is like, oh, but I could be working during that time. You know, I could get in another hour of work, but I need to remind myself like this will help me be more productive, even if it doesn't feel like it in this moment, you know?
And I'm sure I've talked about this before too, because I always love this little anecdote from like Jeff Bridges. It was Philip Seymour Hoffman interviewing Jeff Bridges for Interview Magazine years ago. But like Jeff Bridges talking about how sometimes like on, you know, when he was in a during production, like if he's at his hotel room or whatnot, or, you know, not actively filming at the moment, like he would sometimes like be in his room or his trailer or whatnot. And like he would find himself painting or drawing or taking photographs or whatnot. And then sometimes he'd be like, oh no, you got to get back to, you know, the work at hand. You know, you got to get back to the role, to the script, whatever. Like feeling like, oh, I got to steer things back towards... just being hard on himself, like I gotta prepare or whatever it might be. But then he started learning, it's like, oh, and like, all these things are kind of like, you know, these things kind of like soothe me as well, and they're all outlets and they're all connected. Like he would like allow himself to like embrace like whatever it was that he felt compelled to do in those moments, and not put so much stress on himself to like, oh no, you gotta reroute and focus on this job instead or whatnot, you know?
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool. And also just the interconnectivity of like all that, you know. Just, yeah, kind of allowing his, like, you know, heart and soul and whatnot to steer the ship and take it where it needs to go.
Well, and that's an example of how creativity doesn't necessarily have to be stressful. And creativity can be something that de-stresses you.
100%.
And it's just about feeling the difference between those. It's just, you know, the filmmaking process, because there's so much sort of time deadlines and time sensitive things. I think that's why I was like asking about deadlines earlier, because I think time sensitivity or deadlines cause a lot of stress often, because we have something at stake.
They can,
It feels like there's something to be lost. And so that's why that's always relative. And there's a lot of time sensitive stuff with filmmaking, but you know, creativity overall is not an enemy to being relaxed or a causer of stress. That's why you have to pay attention.
The deadline thing, though, too, again, for me, it comes down to a perspective thing, because you can very much so like look at like, oh, when you have a deadline, the deadline's looming and you gotta drive towards it. Like that could be a source of excitement as well, like, depending on how you view it. It's like, oh, shit, like here we go. Let's fucking do this. Like we got to make this happen. Like we were driving towards this deadline. Like there's something that can be very fun about that as well. And the more you can greet it, like, cause the deadlines can be beneficial for sure. I mean, that's how I get a lot of things done, self-imposed deadlines. And so the more you can like greet it that way as much as possible, which again, sometimes can be easier said than done, but like in treating it as like, oh, this is like a fun game or like a mission or whatnot. Like, okay, like let me hit that deadline. Like that sounds awesome. The less you'll be stressing about it, and the more you'll just be kind of like enjoying the ride, no matter how crazy it might get at times. So again, like, because for me, the thing about deadline, like structure is very important to me. And a lot of it's like self-imposed structure. Like that actually makes me, it can very much so make me stress less because I'm reining in the chaos and I'm organizing things in a way that will allow me to accomplish my goal. And so deadline, structure, what have you. It's like, okay, now I'm making sense of these things, you know? Now I'm not just like out there, like, you know, free falling, whatever. Just kind of like, you know, I have a goal that I'm driving towards. Like that for me can actually be, funnily enough, like, yeah, very like relaxing, very soothing. The structure can be very soothing.
Well, and again, all this stuff is like down to each individual's.
100%.
Like,
again,
everybody's brain works very, it is differently. We all like, honestly, it's absolutely like our fingerprint. It's unique. And like, there's things that can generally work for a lot of people, but it's about what works for you, you know?
Yeah. 100%. And
the thing is, you don't just find that automatically. It takes experience. Right. It takes experimenting with different ways of working and different approaches. And it takes having a certain level of consciousness and paying attention to how you're feeling and how what the results of things are. Honestly, I think that's part of the journey of becoming a more mature, skilled, creative person. Like creativity doesn't always have to be associated with leveling up, but I think we are definitely interested in that here on this podcast. And I think part of the journey of becoming sort of better and more skilled at what you do is paying attention and experimenting with different work methods.
And with the leveling up thing too, it depends on like what that means to you.
Sure.
As well. Because there's people have a wide range of definitions for that. And that's actually something I'm writing about right now. As soon as we hop off, I'm gonna get back to writing about that. Where I have a character talking about how he wants to level up and the other character's like, what does that mean though to you? What's at the core of that? Like why is a conversation in this script. So I'll be getting back to that soon. Incidentally,
I do just wanted to get into more talking about more things that you do to sort of de-stress and to relax, to rest.
Like little thing, like I like when I'm able to carve out some time to like to watch something that I mean, it's again, like very simple things. Like if I'm able to like, oh, cool, like I want to watch this episode or part of this, like, you know, as we know, like I'm not usually able to watch a lot of stuff in one sitting, especially a movie these days. It usually has to, like, you know, break it off into chapters or whatnot. But, like, watching part of something or all of something, if I can, helps with that. Or sometimes it's, like, pulling up, like, I really like I like reading interviews with actors, filmmakers, writers that I really respect. Like, I love reading interviews. That can help relax me. Sometimes I like just like going, like I like reading like rankings of like, oh, so-and-so's like movies like ranked, like lists like that, like are fun for me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even do my own like rankings. Like, it's fun because I love, like, I just have like such a huge like joy for film and for like the craftsmen who like make films happen that like, it's fun to like, I like, as we've talked about, like, you know, I really like geeking out. I like being a fan. And so it's fun for me to think about, like, okay, like, this person who I really love, like, what are my favorite movies of theirs? And, like, ranking them is kind of, like, relaxing to me. And then, like, sharing it with a like-minded friend and whatnot. Little things like that are, like, or reading part of a, you know, I always, like, now these days, like, I always usually have, like, a book or two that I'm going through. And reading just, like, a few pages here or there can help with stress as well. Like, right now I've got David Fincher interviews, which I think I mentioned last time we talked. Or maybe not, but which is just like a book of interviews with David Fincher. And man, when I crack that open, like read a couple pages, it's very relaxing to me. I love his interviews. I love his work. Stuff like that. I've got that, and I've got Heat 2. I'm reading the book Heat 2. Other podcasts, too. That's another, like, other podcasts I'm a fan of. Like, it's fun to, like, you know, fire up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of my simple pleasures is, like, doing, like, again, like, the way I talk right now, it sounds like I just love doing dishes. But, like, doing the dishes and, like, firing up a podcast, like, doing laundry and, like, firing up a podcast that I love. Those kind of tasks where I can, you know, listen to something while accomplishing them always feels good. Because, it's productive and relaxing for me.
Okay.
So, it's a win. It's a win-win.
Yeah, podcasts. I have like two categories of podcasts. There's podcasts that are like more serious and like my brain really has to focus in on. And but sometimes when I more need to rest, I have my like fluffy podcast that I don't need to like focus on as much. And that's like sports stuff. Like my favorite NBA team is Dallas Mavericks, so I'll listen to stuff about them or fantasy football stuff. Or board games. I have some board game podcasts like I listen to, like Shut Up and Sit Down. And those are my turn off my brain podcasts, my more chill podcasts. What else do I do? Naps. Naps are a big thing. Love me a good nap. I imagine you don't get much time to nap these days.
I don't.
naps are super important for me to rest, especially actually when I'm in a high stress like production mode. My body just refuses to sleep 8 hours. Just refuses. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll often wake up after 5 hours and just, like, not be able to go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, almost the entirety of production of 12 months, that whole year and a half, basically, I could not get 8 hours of sleep. And so naps became really important to that because I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to get this full 8 hours of sleep. I'm going to nap I napped almost every single day. And those help. Even a 20-minute nap, even if I don't feel myself fall asleep, is very helpful.
A good buddy of mine, at least he's like big subscribed to the power nap.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, like 15, 20 minute like power nap. He was, really big on that. I'm like, fair enough.
And another thing is, it may sound strange to some, but therapy. Like, I'm actually after this call, I'm getting, I'm going to have a consultation with a new therapist, and I'm seeking a new therapist, not because I have some giant mental health issue that I need to take care of in this moment, but just because, like, it's good to just go and have somebody to talk to about whatever's on my mind, and they have no stake in it. I don't have to worry about anything, like any of the consequences of anything that I'm going to say, like, and they're just going to sort of like guide me through the mental process. To me, I find that sort of it's a way of resting and de-stressing myself, because I get to air all these things that are in my brain, even if I don't have some big issue that I'm trying to work through.
Sure.
So I've pretty consistently gone to therapy for like the last 5 years, like once every couple of weeks or so, just as a way of taking care of myself. Vegging out, whether it's TV, like you said. Sometimes that's video games for me, is just giving myself, my brain, something else to like focus on for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And, hopefully people listening, I hope you have this. I definitely do. Friends that I'm very comfortable with and can, kind of go spend time with and find relaxation in that.
Sure.
But this topic that we have stumbled on is ended up taking up our whole episode. And we will cover more of it later, because we both have calls that we have to jump onto right now.
I think that's a beautiful thing. I love that we just kind of like, we're planning on talking about something else, and then it's like, oh, we went full bore into this. So yeah. Obviously it's
a good topic. It's an important one.
Well, it is. All right, my friend.
Love you, man. Chat. Take care of yourself.
Love you, buddy. Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye, bud. All right. That about wraps it up for episode 41. Clinton. Thoughts, follow-up, perspective, reflection.
I'm proud of this episode because I think this is what I really want this podcast to be more than anything, is really just getting into the nitty-gritty of stuff that's not talked about that often. And I think mental health and motivation and how you take care of yourself and how you take care of your brain is just not talked about that often in the broader creative discourse. But I think it's really important to talk about. And we got into it a lot. And I think this is a subject that we need to get into much more with other people. And I think we will. And we've talked about it here and there in previous episodes. But I'm glad that we dove so deep into this conversation in this episode, because it's a very important topic.
Yeah, I'm really happy with this discussion.
Not to be self-congratulatory or anything. I just, like, people just don't talk about this stuff that much,
No, that's true. There's just so much of a, with a lot of indie filmmakers that need to, like we talk about, like, to prove, like, how hardcore you are and how, devoted you are to your craft. But yeah, you've got to take the time to have that, in whatever way it means to you, like a healthy, well-balanced life, where your life and your art are in harmony, one feeding the other in a way that's just beneficial to all around, to you and your loved ones. So yeah, agreed, man. And then quick update on my health journey.
Mm.
I got my results from the latest CT scan yesterday, actually, and it's all very, very positive.
Good.
So that's a big relief.
Yeah.
Basically, like, the scariest, so especially there was like one nodule in particular, nodule/tumor, that was like, had all these like markers of like, oh, it could be cancerous because of this. It hit all the markers and whatnot, but that nodule is basically, from what I read from the results, I don't see my pulmonologist again for a few weeks, but from the results, basically that nodule is gone. It said it resolved completely good. Resolved. So huge relief, man. I've been on this almost year-long pneumonia journey now. The last 6 months in particular have been very intense with all that. So feeling a lot better and just very relieved by that news. It was like it basically said like that things have vastly improved. So like market improvement.
I love that. I have been legitimately worried about it. I love you, Alan. And
I love you too, man.
I don't know what I would do if something happened to you. There would be a void in my life. So I'm glad to hear you're doing better.
Likewise. No, I appreciate that, man. I'm happy to share that news. It's still kind of sinking in because, you know, it's something that's been on my mind for so long at this point. And then to like actually read those results yesterday, I was like, oh, wow. So it's kind of like a slow wave of like instant relief, but also like it's kind of sinking in more and more. Good stuff, man. I just got to segue out of that.
No segue. Don't worry about segues.
We just
talk about whatever we're going to talk about. Fuck those podcasters in those segues. Fucking
hard
segues.
Hard cut.
Let's
smash
go.
If you have a film, whether it's one of your own or friends or from any indie filmmaker who you're a fan of, reach out. Let us know. We're always looking for indie film recommendations and love connecting with you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can contact us at wearestorylife@gmail.com. Also, check out the website, wearestorylife.com. There's information about everything that me and Alan do there, including all of our artist support stuff. You can connect with me directly. Social media is a great place. Instagram or Twitter are probably the things that are easiest for that. And reminder, my first feature film, which has been a 9-year journey for me, is out in the world now. Please go watch 12 Months. Google 12 Months Film or go to linktree.com/12monthsfilm. It is out in the world. Watch it. Support it. And and support me. And support Alan, too, because Alan's got a lot of great films out in the world. Alan, tell them about your films.
Oh, God. See, you nailed your segue. Folks, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Vimeo at Alan C. Gardner. That's AlanCGardner. And on Instagram at Alan C. Gardner Movies. And speaking of movies, feel free to head on over to my Linktree. That's linktree.com/AlanCGardner, where you'll find links to some of my recent films. I appreciate the support.
Also, thank you to our fantastic editor, Mr. Mike Jimenez. Mike, do you have a Linktree? Should we get you a Linktree, Mike? Let's get a Linktree going for Mike.
Oh, right? For Mike's birthday, let's give Mike a Linktree.
Mike, we love you, and thank you for all your wonderful work as part of this team. And thank you to our friends and families for all their support too, because we are one of many. We I don't. That sounds like we're
no. Keep it. We are one of many. I like it.
I don't know where that thread was going, but God, family, friends, thank you.
God, Clinton just started writing a poem on Mike. Let's keep it going. We are one of many. I second all of that. Really, really appreciate all the support from family and friends. It's invaluable to say the least. So thank you all. We have many more episodes coming up. So please subscribe if you have not already and join us next week.
This has been Clinton Cornwell.
And Alan C. Gardner.
With Story Life.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.